And joining us right now on PMP Network is a wonderful singer, one of my favorites from many years ago. And she's got something out now that's really good, too. We're going to talk about that. But you might remember this lovely woman at Woodstock singing Beautiful People. And shortly thereafter, the song Lay Down Candles in the Rain. I know you do. And what about What Have They Done to My Song, Ma, and Brand New Key, and her great version of Ruby Tuesday and Peace Will Come According to Plan. Some great, great songs that are legendary for the early 70s, kind of the era of great music. And she now has a brand new CD out, and it's called, hold it up to the camera, Ever Since You Never Heard of Me. It's Melanie Safka joining us live. Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's early for me, but I'm good.
Well, you know, you got to wake it up there. Here we go. Yes. Here we, let's caffeine. See, I'm drinking caffeine right now. I got a coffee in me.
I just had a half a cup. I haven't had a whole cup. Forgive me.
So, that's all right. Well,
you know, by the time this cup is finished, I should be good.
Okay. Well, we have it's a really nice CD. Tell us a little bit about, I want to talk a little bit about the past first, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because here you were in your 20s, I believe, and were kind of, well.
19,
okay.
But
all right, so. You were a kid, and you used to sing at Greenwich Village and in coffee houses and stuff, and all of a sudden you're at Woodstock singing Beautiful People, and people start holding up candles and cigarette lighters. Was that the first time anybody ever did that?
Well, yeah, I think what happened, it started with Hog Farm, and the MC at the time, I'm not sure if it was Wavy Gravy or somebody, said, you know, Hog Farm is passing out these candles. It had started to rain. So I thought it was a reprieve for me because I had spent the whole day in a little tent being told every once in a while, you're next. And I was in terror, absolute terror. You know, I wasn't having my Woodstock moment. I was absolutely terrified. I'd never performed for more than 500 people in my life. And somebody would always come out and say, next. And it was like this nightmarish scene. So by the time it had started to rain, I actually thought, and this was, at night already, and it was raining. And I thought, well, everybody's going to go home now, so thank God I'm free. Phew, okay, I probably, what a relief. It's raining, they're gonna go home. And right at that moment, they called me. Only this time it was for real. And I went on, and I was so terrified that I actually left my body. That I walked on that stage as I watched myself. I watched myself do this. I was not totally in my body. And I began to sing, and as the announcer had just made the announcement about the candles and Hog Farm passing out candles to keep,
the rain away.
It was, yep. I don't remember. But it was something inspirational. So during my set, I got to watch the hillside light up with candles. And from that moment on, people associated me with the lighting of things. And it got more intense, of course, as I wrote, where was the song? You know, Candles in the Rain.
Yes.
People would bring candles to concerts. It was like the thing to do, you know. It was like bringing wire hangers to Mommy Dearest. You know, it was just one of those things that people did. And in fact, I had to sign off in a lot of places that I would not perform that song because that was sort of the signal for everybody to light up. And there were theaters that didn't want that.
Right.
So I would have to actually sign papers that I wouldn't perform that song, and sometimes there were fire marshals lining the stage. Of course, you know, it was that era of them and us, and we were, you know, anything in uniform was highly suspect, so it would add to a kind of unpleasant vibe in the rooms. It was amazing. In fact, festivals themselves became outlawed in some states. In the state of New Jersey, my concert was canceled the night before by the governor. It was at a big, one of those garden state art center type places, you know, big, they're all owned by banks now, but the outdoor arena. And I was canceled because I constituted a festival, and festivals were outlawed. And it's amazing, the strange little, the proclamations and the events that followed Woodstock. But anyway, yeah, I became associated with the lighting of things, and now there's little apps with candles, of course, everybody does
well,
that.
You know, I still, to this day, associate the song Lay Down Candles in the Rain with Woodstock and that whole feeling of it. I assume you went and just wrote it after the whole experience?
Yeah, I began writing it as I was leaving Woodstock. And I finished it about 2 weeks later. And it was just because there were two distinct parts. And I knew they had to go together, but getting them to do that was the part that was required for thinking. The inspiration came immediately.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's a powerful song, and doing it with the Edwin Hawkins singers was a really great idea, too.
Yeah, they were, I had this vision that there was this huge gospel chorus just singing, lay it down, lay it down. And so I was on the same label as the Edwin Hawkins singers. Now, they had just had a really big hit, Happy Day. I had never... I didn't.
Oh, happy day.
And so I asked the head of the record company if there was any possibility that they would be able to sing the chorus with me, and he gave me Edwin Hawkins' phone number, and I called him. I'm in New York, and they were in Oakland, California. I had to go to California because I was going to do the Fillmore West as an opener for Santana. So I was going to be there, and I thought, this is Providence. This is a sign. Yeah. We're both supposed to be in Oakland, California. So I called Edwin Hawkins. I just wrote this song, and it's so powerful, and I really hear your chorus, singing the chorus with me. And he said, well, does it have the name of Jesus or the Lord in it? And I went, not actually, but he's in there, definitely in there. And he said, oh, well, we don't do songs that don't say the Lord and, praise the Lord. And, it had to have something religious in there.
Yeah.
In that way. And I said, well, could you just hear it? Anyway, I went out to Oakland. They were rehearsing in a school gymnasium. And I went in with my guitar and Peter, my producer, husband, and I started singing the song for all my life, I just sang it. And I was very shy. So for me, a little white girl singing in front of 50, big voice gospel singers, I was terrified. But I knew I needed to get these people to sing with me. So I'm singing and singing. By the second or third chorus, they had started to join me. And Edwin Hawkins was outvoted. But he was really into it after a while. We did it was one of those records where it took over the studio, and we kept singing it. In fact, there was I think the regular 3-minute commercial radio version, and then there was the one that was went on and on and on.
It was about 7 minutes long, the other one,
or something.
Yeah. Were you surprised at the huge success of that song? It sold over 1 million copies. It became the number 6 song in the country in May of 1970.
Oh, it was amazing. I remember Peter and I were riding home, and we turned the radio on, and a few minutes later it came on without us knowing it was going to be played, and we were screaming in the car. We could not believe it. What an amazing thrill. I had no idea. I didn't know what people did to have records on the radio. I was completely new to that part of the business of music, and I didn't know, how do you go about that? I mean, there were rumors that you pay off people and you have to do things. So you know, I wondered if there would ever be a possibility for me to have a record on the radio. I knew I had Beautiful People that had been played on the radio, but because the record company at that time was Columbia, they didn't believe in it.
Right.
So they didn't really have it in stores. So what they called the turntable hit.
So Buddha Records really came through for you.
Buddha Records with Neil Bogart. Neil Bogart was the ultimate record person. He really knew how to get those distributor guys. And at that point, you know, distributors were, right up there with, people sold garments, you know.
Right.
It was real salesmen people. You know, they were,
they were up there promoting it, and Bogart, Casablanca Records, we did the same again.
Peter and Steve had their differences, you know, and at one point we left Buddha Records and formed our own record label. I had been packaged to the hilt. You know, I was just not happy with the incredibly strong image that they kept promoting on me. Mm-hmm. And of course that is probably what made me as visible as I was, but I was reluctant to being so typecast as this beatific list ninny. You know, he at one point, Neil Bogart, wanted Peter and I to have a wedding in Central Park, a hippie wedding, where it was, you know, all the regalia of hippiedom. And I was horrified. This is definitely not what I want to do. But I didn't need to go along with most of Neil's ideas. He did them. But looking back, I probably could have played the game a little more to his liking and probably been even more visible for a longer period of time. But I was so finished with being frozen in a photograph, you know, and being typecast. And the irony of this is when Peter and I started our own label, the first record that came out was Brand New Key. And that was a kiss of death, you know, as far as being perceived as anybody with any kind of something to say relevant to anything.
It's interesting you bring that up. I'm glad you did, because I noticed that was on the Neighbor label, which was your label.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit number one. I got to tell you, of all your songs, it's my least favorite. And it was hugely successful. Hugely successful. In fact, I think it's been in commercials and stuff and been used in all kinds of things.
Everything. Movies. Constantly. You know what? I'm not sure if it's just... I've just been beaten out of resistance or what, but I've come to love that song.
Really?
And it's not, I don't make profit from any of the things that are done. It's the publishing, the writers there, it all got wheedled out of me. I don't know how, you know, but this industry isn't pretty. There are elements that I don't know about. My husband passed away suddenly, and all of it is a mystery. So, but it's not that for that reason. So I'm just clarifying that.
Well, I'm glad you told me that, because you know I actually have in my hand here Melanie, Beautiful People, The Greatest Hits of Melanie, which I bought a while back. I love this CD, and I noticed on it, I thought maybe you'd make some good money selling these things because of all the songs that you wrote. And I also noticed it says produced by Peter Shakirik.
Yes.
That was your husband. And now you are out touring and performing, and in fact, the CD which I have in my hand that we've been talking about earlier, which is called Ever Since You Never Heard of Me, your son is on this thing, Bo Jerry, right?
Yeah, it was the last recording that Peter worked on, and he worked on it with Bo, and Bo is always saying how grateful he is that he got to work with Dad, because Peter had a particular style in producing, and the artist reigned supreme, and the feel, it was all about the feel, you know, and really getting that, and the groove and the feel, and the building that real meat and potatoes track. And he gave that to Bo. You know, and Bo said he always runs it by his dad now. Every time he's producing something, he always runs it by Peter, his sensibilities about things, how it should sound. And we love this album. And it's not officially even come out. We had it, Peter passed away, we didn't know what we were doing, we haven't signed to a label, we haven't distributed it. Somebody got a hold of before it was mastered and finished, someone put it out and it went on iTunes, and it took me almost a year to have them take it off because it was first of all, it was the wrong version. Second of all, they were bootlegging it.
Right.
And, we got that off. But the only way you can have this is from coming to my shows, pretty much, or my website.
Well, and the website we should mention, I'm going to put a link to it. It's melaniemusic.com. And I want to make sure people can go to that and order this thing. I got to tell you, I love some of the music on this. A Kiss from the Heart, I Tried to Die Young, When the Clock Strikes 12, My Surprise. I love those songs. They're really catchy songs, and I think if we can get them played on the radio enough, that people will go out and buy them.
Oh, thank you. I really believe in these songs. I know that it's an entirely different industry as far as the value is more a visual than audio, but you know, I think songs are needed. You know, people need songs, and these are some of my best.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention is that, you know, you mentioned that your late husband produced a lot of things, and he produced this along with your son, and your son actually plays most of the music on it. Yeah.
There's one track that our friend keyboard player George Wurzbach played on, and
Tony Gerber played flute. Everything. Tony Gerber played flute on one of the tracks as well. But yeah.
Tony Gerber on this album?
Yeah, he played flute on one of the songs. It might be I Tried to Die Young.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on there too. It's okay, but I think that your voice, this is what I was, you know, wanted to talk to you about. Your voice is pretty much hasn't changed much. You still have that same powerful voice and the same range that you had when you were singing at Woodstock. I thought it was interesting that has not changed. And I also found it interesting that the photos on the album that you used were old photos rather than new ones.
Well, that's in keeping with Ever Since You Never Heard of Me, which I figured, you know, is a link to the past, and this is what's on the CD is the future.
I'm assuming that, I'm guessing here, not because I don't know, but on the cover photo, is that Peter waving?
No, that's some strange guy. We don't know who he is. I was going over to the Isle of Wight on a hovercraft, and that was the hovercraft. We were all sitting there, and my friend Maddie Miller was snapping pictures. It was a very candid shot, and it was a whim, you know, that we put this on the cover, because I thought it was vintage, and yet it was like one of the studio photos of, you know.
Yeah, I would have cut out that guy, because
we'd like to know.
Because he's focused, they kind of focus on him rather than you. You're actually in the background to him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'd rather see you. But the album, again, is really good. It's called Ever Since You Never Heard of Me. And if you're a Melanie fan like I was in the early 70s, you'll actually love this music 40 years later. And again, you can get it at Melanie's Music, MELANIES, music.com.
I don't think there's an S.
Yeah, there is.
Melanie Music.
It says Melanie's Music on the on your CD.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
No? Okay, well, that's what it says on the CD. So we'll check, and we'll put a link up that works.
It doesn't work with an S. Don't they put the S on it?
Yeah, well, we'll...
I don't think there's an S, because I finally got my name, because for years and years, some company, corporate company, owned it, and at first they wanted an exorbitant amount of money, and then they came down, but it was still ridiculous, and so I just gave up, and I had MelaniesMusic.net from a minute, and then we just, you know, figured, well, I'll just do something else. And so we didn't have it. And then when I finally was able to get my name back, I think I just put Melanie. Oh, I know what it is. It's MelanieSofka.com, because I couldn't have my whole name.
I will actually do a little research, and we'll make sure we link the right one to it. So but it was a real pleasure for me to actually speak to you, and I'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Thank you and
we'll remind folks to go. And are you going to be doing any touring at all? Are you playing? You got to sing Ohio by Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Who was shot and killed with Allison B. Krauss, and she loved me. She loved Melanie, and she played Beautiful People. It was her favorite.
Wow.
So I'm doing a tribute tomorrow. On the 4th, and I leave tomorrow. And
is your schedule up on your website?
Yes.
Okay. Germany, yeah? Wow.
Summer tour.
Excellent.